G'day, and welcome to the Fasting Highway podcast, the podcast that's all about intermittent fasting. I'm your host, Graham Curry from Perth, Australia. I lost 60 kilograms or 132 pounds living an intermittent fasting lifestyle and have successfully maintained that weight loss. I'm also the author of the Amazon category best-selling book, The Fasting Highway, which will give you a great insight into what it's actually like to live it day to day, how to get started, what it's about, what are some of the health benefits that come from it, and how to turn it into a successful long-term lifestyle. In this series of podcasts, you'll be hearing from people from all over the world, from the beginners to the experienced and those that are on the journey. You'll also be hearing from some leaders in the intermittent fasting community, and you'll also be hearing from some past guests as we recheck in to see how they've been going. And thank you for joining us here on the Fasting Highway. Enjoy the show. G'day, and welcome to the Fasting Highway podcast. And this is episode 161. And some exciting news to share today, in that I have officially launched a private coaching and mentoring service for those who prefer a confidential and private chat with me to get some accountability and help on your intermittent fasting journey, no matter what stage that may be, from the beginner to the experienced. So please go to my website, thefastinghighway.com. You can click on Get Help to book a private one-on-one Zoom call with me, and you'll find a range of dates and times there to suit all time zones. The relevant charges are also there. And if you're also looking to get my book, The Fasting Highway, you can find that on the website as well, with details and links to Amazon, and also how you can buy it straight from the website if you're in Australia or New Zealand. That's thefastinghighway.com. Okay, folks, let's get on with today's podcast. I'm really excited today to be joined by Tonya Korticus. And Tonya lives in Pontiac, Michigan in the United States of America with her husband, Michael, of 10 years. And Tonya is a mum to three adult sons and a bonus mum to Michael's three adult children as well. And Tonya spent most of her adult life as a stay-at-home mum of three growing boys and self-employed as a portrait photographer. She's had a few trials and tribulations with her weight, as you'll hear about in this podcast. And this podcast is going to cover off on Tonya's first 6 months of her intermittent fasting journey, which we'll follow up again in 6 to 12 months' time. And get ready to have your hair blown back, because this is amazing. Welcome, Tonya. Oh, g'day, Tonya, and welcome to the Fasting Highway. And thank you so much for joining me today.
Good afternoon or good evening, whatever it is there. Good to be here.
Thank you. Yes, bright and early in the morning here in Western Australia on another stinking hot day. And I know you guys have got 6 inches of snow up there, so we're bipolar in that sort of respect. But Tonya, for people around the world that may not know you, and thank you for being an inspiring member of the Fasting Highway Facebook community, maybe just tell us a bit about your backstory and any trials and tribulations you had with weight in your life and sort of how you found your way to intermittent fasting.
Sure. Well, I'm 48 years old, and I have struggled with my weight since probably 20 years old. So most of my life, I've just had a fight with food. Just, I like to eat, and I can gain weight pretty easily. So that's definitely been a problem. I would definitely classify myself as an emotional eater. Eating when I'm happy, eating when I'm sad. It's just been that way most all of my life. And that's resulted in a lot of extra pounds. I've, like many people that you've had on your podcast, I have tried what I feel like is every diet out there. I started out with, when I was about 20, maybe 21, started at a group in my church, just doing devotions and trying to be healthy and exercise and getting a few pounds off here and there. That would work for a while. And then I tried the diets where you drink shakes. And I remember trying the cabbage diet at one point. Cabbage soup, basically. And Slim Fast and just so many different diets. And a lot of times they would work for me, and I would lose maybe 10, 15, 20 pounds, but I'd go right back to my old way of eating. And so I have three sons, and I had them all before I was 30. So gained a lot of weight then, would also lose it. And that brings me to today, where I feel like I finally found an eating plan that works for me. Right before I found intermittent fasting, I was doing keto, and that definitely works for me, but not as good as intermittent fasting. Intermittent fasting has just totally changed the way I think about food and feel about food, and it's taken the cravings right out of the equation for me. And it's really let me gain control of my life, I feel, as of right now. So I stumbled into intermittent fasting this last July, so about 6 months ago. And I was doing keto at the time, but I had also heard about a thing called intermittent fasting, and I wanted to know about it. So I think the first person I listened to was Dr. Jason Fung. I had heard of him. And then Dr. Berg also teaches a lot about keto and intermittent fasting. And so I just decided one day to try it, and went ahead and did a 23-hour fast.
Okay, let's go back now, because we're covering off in the first 6 months of your journey here, Tonya, for listeners mm-hmm. out there, because we're going to follow Tonya up in another 6 months, because I think it's really important to hear how people sort of start and how that first sort of 6 months went. So let's just recap. You were doing keto at the time, and then you heard of intermittent fasting, so you thought you'd delve into it a bit more. You found out a bit more through the science, through Dr. Fung and Dr. Berg and those sort of people. And then you thought you'd give it a go. And you mentioned there you started off with the 23-in-1. Was there any particular reason you chose that, or was it just something that fitted your life?
Yes, it was a video that I had watched one day from Dr. Berg. And he had just said, you know, to try that, basically try OMAD. And so I'm kind of an extreme person, and I like to just jump in and try it so that I don't lose the motivation to do it. So I did that the first day, but then by the second, third, and fourth day, I was doing a 20-in-4.
That's a great idea. And also, you know, when you first started, were you weighing at all daily? Did you do any?
I've been pretty good about weighing. I tend to weigh too much, like every day is almost too much for me, because if I weigh and it's high or it's low, I would get upset that the food that I ate or did not eat wasn't working. I was not having a lot of patience at first. I wanted to weigh every day. I wanted to see results right now. That didn't work like that for me. It took a week or two before the weight loss would show on the scale. And I've definitely learned that over time. And now, 6 months into it, I've decided I just weigh once a week. And that seems to help me, because I'm not as obsessed with the scale. I'm making good food choices knowing I'm not going to get on that scale every day. Like, that's not determining my food choices. My brain is determining my food choices, not the scale.
Yeah, so for me, the scale is just a tool, really. And, you know, just sort of keeps me in my range, and I'm happy with that. I stand on it, I look at it. You know, I've been maintaining now for nearly 4 years. Every morning I stand on the scale, I look at it, and I go, okay, I'm in range, that's great. If I get up to the top of that range, then I wind things back in. If I get down too low and I'm starting to look too lean, I'll broaden the range out a bit. And it's just calibrating. That's all it is for me now, the scale. So it really doesn't affect me one way or the other, because I know when I go to bed at night whether that scale is going to be up and down in the morning just by the way I feel, because you become so in tune with your body with intermittent fasting, I think, over time. But Tonya, when you talk about keto, a lot of people sitting out there, they don't actually know what strict keto is or keto. If you wouldn't mind just giving a broad definition of what keto was and what you were actually doing just prior to starting IF.
Sure. I was following the rules of that you try to stay under 20 carbs a day. So the foods that I would eat would be full, you know, they would be very full of fat and calories, but they wouldn't have a lot of carbs in them. So no crackers or no sweets, because sugar has a lot of carbs. So it naturally keeps you away from sugar. And so just focusing on meats, cheese, some other dairy, and vegetables. not a lot of fruit either.
Okay. Did you carry that on? Let's talk about your eating window now. When you first started IF, at 23-1 when you kicked off, moving to 20-4. Let's talk about the eating window now. How did you handle that? Was it still very much a keto-ish?
Yes, and I still, for the most part, do that because those are the foods I enjoy. I was doing keto for a couple years before the pandemic as well. So I really learned to enjoy the keto foods, and I learned to cook that way. So a lot of the meals that I make every day are keto meals. Like, I don't use pasta. I don't use bread. I just got used to that and I like it. And that seems to work for me to not eat a lot of carbs.
Yeah, very much the same. And I think it is something you just get used to because, you know, carbs, unfortunately, don't love me. So I learned that with my weight. And one of the biggest problems I had was overindulgence in carbs and sugar. And as you know, I was a sugar addict and a fast food addict, and I had to get that out of my life. And once I did, I had to find an alternative because you've got to eat something, let's face it. So it's once you start looking into it and finding those alternatives and making better choices for ourselves, I think that really complements the clean fast. Let's talk about that. Clean fasting, were you doing that right from the go-get? Did you get that message or did you get into that?
No, I was not clean fasting from the beginning. When I first started, I was just having a little bit of cream in my coffee for the first few days. And then I right away started hearing your podcast, Jen Stevens' book, and I kept hearing the term clean fast. And I didn't want to give in to that because I wanted my coffee with cream. But after a couple weeks, I decided I'd do an experiment and I would stop putting the cream in my coffee. And I would stop drinking teas that had fruit flavor. I liked raspberry tea, peach tea. And so for a week, I just clean fasted like Jen Stevens talked about in her book. And I really did notice that I didn't have cravings for food throughout my fast. And that surprised me because I was one of those people, I didn't really believe that the clean fast was that big of a deal until I tried it. And then I believed, okay, this really does work because it makes the fasting so much easier. It's like I can just fast, go about my business, do my work, do my hobbies, and not think about food until my window opens.
And I think that's really important that you do learn that message of the clean fast. And just for listeners out there who may be just starting the IF lifestyle or may not get that message, what we're talking about here is a clean fast. So during our fasting period, all we're consuming is black tea, black coffee, just plain, plain water, sparkling water, plain flavored, nothing else, green tea, and that's about it. Because when you start having those things like sweet teas and all the rest of it, and even things like rooibos that have got that sweet profile, they can really drive the hunger and they can drive cravings, particularly if you're a person that's got a bit of sugar issue or that sort of thing, and it just makes you hungrier during your fast. So the general rule is for us here on the Fasting Highway and many intermittent fasters is you're either fasting or you're not. That's the bottom line. So if you're putting things like cream in your coffee and that sort of thing to try and help you get through the fast, well, the ideal thing is to keep that insulin as low as possible. And every time you're doing that, you're spiking that insulin. So it's defeating the purpose. So please clean fast. So I'm glad we got that message out there, Tonya. But let's go back now and talk about your stats because people will want to know that. And if you don't mind sharing, Tonya, where you were at with your weight when you first came to IF and sort of what was your high weight and how has this 6 months gone weight-wise for you?
At my highest weight was 349. And that's hard to see. That's hard to say, but it's the truth. 349 pounds, which I looked it up and that's 158 kilos. And my current weight right now is 257, which is 116 kilos. So I've lost about 91, 92 pounds right now. In 6 months.
Far out. That's absolutely phenomenal, I tell you. So it's 349 pounds, so 158 kilos. You were pretty close to what I weighed, not far off it in my high weight. And so how tall are you, Tonya?
I'm 5'9".
So you're quite reasonably tall, yeah. So that's a big, massive effort in that 6 months. And what sort of rate was it falling off you in that 6 months? Like what was the first month looking like weight loss-wise?
Sure. Yeah, it was 10 pounds the first month and 10 pounds the second month. and I've kind of lost track of the monthly stats since then, but once in a while I'll take how much weight I've lost and I'll divide it out by how many months and or how many, you know, what it is per week. And it still ends up averaging out to about 2 pounds a week, even though sometimes I've lost 5 pounds in a week. And then sometimes I don't lose anything in a week.
Yeah. It's crazy how it works, isn't it? And we're doing the same thing. That's what I used to think. Like in that first year, I lost 100 pounds. And I sort of went through a three-month period in that first year where I didn't really lose anything. And I thought, well, what am I going to do? I've been losing weight doing this, so what's the difference? So I just trusted in the process and just kept going and kept doing what I was doing, similar to what you're doing there. So let's talk about your sort of eating now. Are you more of a OMAD, sort of what we call a one meal a day, restaurant style, open with a snack, main dessert, or how do you roll with your eating window?
Yes, that is what I prefer to do. I've just switched over to a lunchtime window instead of a dinner window because I don't like being full at night and going to bed on a full stomach. So I open my window around maybe 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. And I pack my food the night before to take to work, and I'll pack some snacks. I'll pack maybe something with eggs in it, like a quiche for breakfast, some nuts, and then I'll have a main meal, like a big salad, and I'll have that about an hour or two later. So I don't eat the whole 4 hours, definitely. I couldn't even do that. That'd be too much food. But I do more like a breakfast. I feel like it's a small breakfast and then a lunch and then a something sweet at the end. And when I say something sweet, it's a keto sweet. So it's not sugar, but it's a sweet like a chia pudding or something that I like that isn't going to give me a lot of sugar.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And I think we've all got to find our niche with not only our fasting protocol, but also our eating window and about what works best for us and what serves our body best. And you kind of worked that out. You sort of found that keto sort of lifestyle and then sort of low carb, low sugar sort of regime has just seen the weight fall off you. And I think for a lot of people out there, they just have to get that message, eat what serves you the best. That's what I say to people. I like to eat what makes me feel my greatest, not what my mind wants, because my mind, Tonya, got me to 360 pounds saying I want to eat all of that and all the bakery stuff and all of that. Yeah, that's great at the time. But then when it piles on you, then you go, wow, okay, well, now I've got to get it all off. And then you do that and you think to yourself, well, how am I going to keep this off? And you're going to keep it off by making sure that you eat what makes you feel your greatest. And I say that to people with the greatest respect. And I don't judge anybody for what they eat. They've got to work that out for themselves. But I'm really glad that you sort of got that message and you've got going with it. And so now I just wanted to ask you one question. And I always am curious with people in their first 6 months when they do fasting. Being a keto lifestyle, were you having many things like fast food, that sort of stuff, or not really?
No, I wouldn't eat any fast food, but I would go to places that were almost fast food. I don't know. You probably don't have these places in Australia, but they're like Mexican. Qdoba is one of our places, or Chipotle, where you go in and they make you like a burrito or a salad. You know, they make it in front of you. It's a lot healthier, but it is fast. But I would go to places like that and get grilled chicken with a salad, things like that. But for the most part, I'm pretty good at just making all of my own food. I love to cook. So I like preparing new recipes and everything. The difference now is I'm not counting any carbs. With intermittent fasting, I don't feel like I need to count the carbs. So even though I'm eating keto foods, it's not keto to me is doing 20 carbs or less. And I'm really not counting them anymore. And I've still been able to lose all this weight.
Yeah, I guess after a while, you sort of just know what it is. And I'm the same. I mean, I can look at a meal and I know instantly how much sugar is in that meal just by mentally calculating it. When you said that you changed your fasting and sort of eating protocol and you moved that back to a midday window sort of thing, how did you get on with your family in the evenings with the meals? Because I know people are probably thinking, well, how did you get around that with your family in the evening?
Right. Well, we have a unique kind of situation here now where my kids are 20 years old and older. So they're on their own schedule. So it's just my husband and I here most of the time eating together. And we do like to eat together at night. But about a month ago, I approached him and I said, I'd really like to try a lunchtime window, but I don't don't want us to not eat dinner together. And he just said, honey, you do whatever you need to do. If you think it's best for you to do lunchtime, do lunchtime. I can eat anything on my own. Not a problem. So he kind of just gave me the go ahead to just do what I felt like I needed to do, which is eating midday, because I like to work out in the evening and I don't want to take the time to be eating dinner, and I don't like to work out when I'm full. So it's been working really well. I enjoy it.
Yeah, that's
like
great.
Now I'm already probably 5 or 6 hours into my fast right now.
Yeah, I think that's fantastic. And big thanks to your husband there for supporting you. I think that's excellent. And, you know, like he's seen 90 pounds fall off his wife in the first 6 months. He must just be going, wow, look at that. I mean, that's just crazy. I mean, when you love somebody, you love them no matter what size they are, you're right. And I wrote a post the other day about that, about how my wife has always loved me no matter what size I was. But when you actually see 90 pounds fall off a partner, that's pretty out there. And so how's his reaction been to that?
He is very supportive. He's very encouraging. I sometimes tell him he needs to stop complimenting me so much, or I'm going to get a big head, because he's very encouraging. He's always telling me, wow, you look great. I can't, you know, you're getting so thin. And I couldn't ask for more support than he's given me in every way. It's really helped me. It pushed me even farther into my journey, because there's great. No resistance there at all.
Hey, he just loves you, and he just wants to encourage you and tell you how great you're doing. And I think that's fantastic when partners do get behind each other and they really support it. That's fantastic. But you mentioned here the struggles you had with IF early on, those headaches, that sort of thing. So when you worked through those, was there anything else that you missed about, you know, you used to do before that you weren't doing with intermittent fasting? Like for me, it was a social aspect. I had to really rewire. I was a social animal. That was my life. I was the life of a party. I was a big social guy. I was a party guy, and I had to change all that, and I missed it. Was there anything you missed particularly?
The only thing I can really think of is just being able to eat whenever I want to, because with keto, I would start eating in the morning. I'd eat a snack, then I'd eat lunch, then I'd eat another snack, then I'd eat dinner. So that's really the only thing that I miss, is just being able to eat whenever I want to, as long as I'm staying under 20 carbs. But I feel so much better fasting most of the day now that it's kind of a distant memory, because I love how I feel in the fasted state. I have lots of energy and I just feel very positive. And as soon as I start eating, it kind of goes downhill from there, and I feel a little sleepy sometimes, a little more lethargic. And I'm ready to get back to fasting.
And circling back to when you change from that dirty fasting to that clean fasting, I mean, I've heard so many people talk about the differences of that, how that makes their fast so much easier. Now you've settled into that rhythm, you found that the fasting's easier. Are you still doing the 20 and 4, or are you doing something else?
Well, that's a part that I've skipped, actually. I need to tell you about that, because for about 2 months, I did the 20 and 4. And then I started looking into alternate day fasting. You had someone on your podcast, maybe her name was Rachel, I'm not sure. And she talked about alternate day fasting. And at first I thought that just sounded horrible. And then I decided I wanted to just try it. I'll just try it for a couple weeks. And that was in October of this last year. And I ended up doing ADF for 3 months. So October, November, and December. And that was really interesting for me. It was kind of hard, but realistically it wasn't, because for an entire day, for 36 hours, I wouldn't eat. I didn't have to think about food, and I felt very energetic the whole time. And then the next day I got to do what I wanted, which is eat whenever I want to. So it kind of gave me that freedom back, only for one day. And then the next day was back to fasting.
So what you're talking about there is alternate day fasting, ADF. There's several different protocols with that. Were you doing what they call the up, down, down day, where you sort of, you would not eat for one day and then the next day you would eat? Or were you doing the sort of 500 calorie option? How were you handling that?
I tried both. At first I tried the 500 calorie option. And what I found is that it was hard to stop eating. Once I start putting food in my mouth, I just want to keep eating a big meal. And so it was hard to do that. So I decided, no, I'm just going to fast the entire day. And that worked better for me. Because if I don't start eating, I could keep on fasting for days, I feel like, if I don't start eating. The problem I had with it is I couldn't sleep at night when I was having the fasting day. I could fall asleep, but I couldn't stay asleep all night. I would wake up at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning. Because I think my body was just, my stomach wasn't growling, but my body was alert. It just didn't want to calm down. And like I said, I did it for 3 months and I couldn't find any relief for being able to sleep at night.
Is there actually, Rachel, who you mentioned, was Rachel Awad. She lives in Cairo in Egypt. She was on back in episode 6. So I think we had Rachel on again just recently as well. And she had a really good explanation in episode 6 about the right reasons and the wrong reasons to do ADF. And I always say to people, make sure you do it for the right reasons. I mean, there's some great health benefits to it. But you don't have to do alternate day fasting to be successful with intermittent fasting. That's the bottom line. And I say to people, you have to be ready to do it too, because these are very long fasts. I mean, going for a whole day without food, I personally can't do that. I haven't done it because I can't do it. And that's the truth. And I'm a person that likes to eat every day. That's why I live a one meal a day lifestyle or restaurant style. On weekends, I live a two meal a day lifestyle. And maintenance, that's how I roll. But I don't want to do an alternate day fasting because I'll have to eat every day. Otherwise, I just find it too hard. And I don't want my fasting to be hard. But I can really see why people do it. And if it fits them, great. And if they get into a rhythm, great. But just make sure you do it for the right reasons. And when I say that, Tonya, often we see people on a Monday beat themselves up about what they did on the weekend. Oh, I'm going to do a 45-hour fast now because I had two pies and a bit of pizza on the weekend. So they're the wrong reasons to do it. But the right reasons, obviously, is the health benefits, autophagy reasons. I mean, 90 pounds in 6 months is pretty quick. Did you have any problems with things like loose skin or stuff like that?
I am having some of that now. And that's one of the reasons why I decided to try ADF, because I had heard that it's better when you're losing a lot of weight, it's better for tightening up your skin. So I thought I better do whatever I can because I want to still lose another 90 pounds. So I still have a long road ahead of me. And I know that I could have a lot of loose skin. I have some now. It's not bad, but I still have a lot more weight to lose too.
Yeah, that sounds crazy, doesn't it? When you say you've lost 90 pounds and you've still got 90 to lose and you're halfway sort of through your journey there. I mean, you look fantastic, I've got to say. And, you know, when you said your age, I had to look at you twice because I thought there's no way you look that old. But you sort of think to yourself, when you see people at intermittent fast and they look great and they've lost a lot of weight, and I think loose skin is a problem for some people, but I think being taller as well, and I'm a tall guy, I never had such a problem with it because, you know, I felt 6'5", weight fell off me. I had a bit under my arms and that sort of thing. But you know what? I'd rather have a bit of loose skin than be 350 pounds any day of the week. And I bet you'd say that as well. And I think that's an important message for people not to sort of not do IF because they're worried about getting a bit of loose skin because, hey, what's better, having a bit of loose skin or carrying around that weight and putting strain on your organs and your heart and all that sort of thing and leading to an early death? So, you know, pick your heart, I say. But let's talk about now, you know, sort of appetite correction. We often mention that in the intermittent fasting communities, and you've said there that your appetite sort of changed a bit. So just run us through that.
Sure. The first thing that I noticed about appetite correction was regarding coffee. I've been a coffee drinker since I was about 30 years old, but I like a lot of cream in my coffee. And so when I realized that I couldn't clean fast and have my coffee first thing in the morning with all my cream in it, I decided to boycott coffee. I didn't want to have coffee anymore. I said, no more coffee. I'm done. And I started drinking tea instead because I like tea just as much. So I did a whole month without drinking coffee. And then after a month, I decided I was going to try coffee again. Freshly roasted beans from a friend of ours. Tasted the black coffee. It was one morning this past summer, and I absolutely loved it. And my husband probably still remembers me drinking it that morning because I said, "This is so good. I taste like a molasses type of taste in it. I tasted the sweetness, even though it was just black coffee." And that was my first sign that my appetite was correcting, my taste buds changed. I have never been able to drink black coffee until then. And now I love it. I have it every morning, just black coffee.
Crazy, isn't it? Like when people talk about coffee, it's a hot topic, excuse the pun, in Facebook groups, isn't it? Coffee. And I always say to people, hey, you know, you don't actually have to drink coffee at all while you're fasting. Simple as that, black or otherwise. If you have it with cream or you have it however you have it, and you have that in your eating window, but there's no requirement to drink coffee during your fasting period. Like a lot of people say, I hate black coffee. Well, don't drink it. As simple as that. Don't drink it if you don't like it. Why drink something you don't like? You know, like you, find an alternative. Find tea, try green tea, or just have plain water while you're fasting. And then when you open your window, your eating window's on, have the coffee the way you like it. But coffee's not going to make any difference in your fasting in terms of having it or not. It's not some magic power, black coffee. It's just the fact that we try to keep our insulin low by not putting cream and milk in it. That's all that is. But let's talk about the NSVs and health benefits, Tonya, for a minute. I mean, obviously, over the last 6 months, a phenomenal amount of weight you've lost. You must have seen some other crazy things happening.
I have, and I have been trying to write down the non-scale victories because I knew I would have a big list by the time I'm done losing all this weight. And one of the first things I noticed was my blood pressure being lowered. We have a blood pressure cuff at home, and so I take my blood pressure. And last March, I went to the doctor, and my blood pressure was really high, and it's never been high before. And that was when I was at my highest weight of 349. My blood pressure was really high, and the doctor was starting to get concerned about it. Shortly after that appointment, I started doing keto and then started the intermittent fasting. And my blood pressure within about a month, I think it was about a month, it got to a completely normal level. Just no problem whatsoever. Now, every time I take my blood pressure at home, it's normal, just average. So that was great to know that my health was improving from the inside out, is how I say it. Another non-scale victory I've had just the other day, this is kind of a silly one, but my bath towel wraps all the way around me when I get out of the shower. And I got so excited about that. Just a regular size towel, I can wrap it around me. Another one, I noticed when I was sitting in church one day that I can just sit and cross my legs. I couldn't do that for years.
Fun when you can do those things, like, you know, to other people, it might sound like, oh, well, you can wrap a towel around yourself, but they don't understand. Like when you've never been able to wrap a towel around yourself and you can, and then, you know, sitting in church and crossing your legs, you know, and you just go, wow, I just crossed my legs. And you look around and you want to tell somebody. And those things are crazy, aren't they? And it's like, you know, talked about getting onto an aircraft, sitting down in a seat, putting on a seatbelt and big belts hanging out. And you're going, wow. This belt has got 6 inches of belt hanging out. You want to look around and tell everybody, hey, I never used to be able to do this. And it's all those things like going to a restaurant, sitting in a chair or a booth more comfortably. I mean, 90 pounds is life-changing. It really is. I mean, you can do so many things more now than maybe you couldn't do before. And sort of what are sort of some of those things that you're looking forward to being able to do, Tonya? Have you written down a list in that journal of, hey, this is what I'm looking forward to doing?
One of the things that I really want to be able to do is I want to be able to wear dresses. I haven't worn dresses in years, and I just think when I'm thinner, I'm gonna buy some pretty dresses. I love clothes shopping, and most of the time now I shop at thrift stores just because my size is changing so much so quickly. I used to be a size 26 in women's, and now I'm wearing an 18. So I've gone through all those sizes in 6 months. And I donate clothing all the time. So I do a lot of shopping online for clothes and just getting ideas for things that I'd like to dress up and wear as a thinner person. I'm getting excited about that.
Yeah, that's cool. You know, I always said obesity used to choose my clothing, and now I do. And sort of you'd walk into a store, you know, when you're an obese and large person, you know, let's face it, you're a very limited choice. And, you know, people in the shops weren't always very helpful, but now I find I can go into any menswear store I want. I can walk next door to my wardrobe here and I can pull out clothes that I was wearing 3 years ago, put them on, they fit me exactly the same. You know, maintaining an IF lifestyle is so much fun with clothes. And I think that's a really great message, what you said about donating those clothes as the sizes come down, because a lot of us will leave those clothes in the closet, won't we? Because we don't have that confidence. We sort of think, oh, I'm going to need those fat clothes one day because I know I'm going to regain the weight. But with intermittent fasting, as you go on, I mean, I know you've only been doing this 6 months, but I can tell you after years, you have absolute confidence to be able to do that, to have a one-size wardrobe. And that was always one of my goals. I want a one-size wardrobe. So all those clothes in there are exactly the one size, and that's my size. So my wife knows when she buys me clothes online, she likes to do that, and I love her for it. And just going shopping and going to that section, that's my size. And so I think that's fun, isn't it?
Yes, that is so fun to do. I take a lot of time to try on clothes for work or for the weekend, and I just it's fun to get dressed now, whereas I used to dread getting dressed and it was a chore. And now I'd like to go in a store and just try on clothes, and I'll try on clothes that are a little too small for me just to see if I can fit in them. And I make it like a goal, like, okay, as soon as I lose maybe 10 more pounds, I might come back to the store and get this pair of jeans. Just gives me like little goals to look forward to.
Yeah, I think that's great. I always wanted to have a tailored suit, and we have to go to a tailor. And, you know, you see it on TV all the time. All these guys are measuring somebody, and they measure your arms, and they measure everything. And I got there, and it was fantastic, and it was such a great feeling. But Tonya, I just wanted to circle back with the ADF now. So ADF, is that currently what you're doing, or are you looking to sort of change that back a bit?
No, I stopped doing ADF on December 28th. I had my last sleepless night, and I just said, I've got to stop doing this, because I was pushing myself to go to January 1st, and then I was going to switch my protocol, and I wasn't feeling good, and I knew I needed to listen to my body. And so I started doing 20 and 4 on December 28th again. So I've been doing it a month now, and I'm really liking it. It's fitting me really well. I feel very comfortable with it. I'm not getting headaches. I'm getting used to how much. Right now, the hardest part for me right now is figuring out how much I need to eat every day, because I tend to eat too much. I have to maybe scale it back a little bit.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I think it's great that you recognize that ADF wasn't for you. I mean, it's great that you tried it. And that's what I say to people. If you try something, it becomes hard, or it's affecting your sleep, or it's affecting your fasting, and you're just not enjoying it. I mean, intermittent fasting has got to be enjoyable. It's got to be sustainable for life, and it's got to be pleasant. If it's hard, then that's not pleasant. You don't want to make it hard for yourself. That's why I was saying before, you do not have to do alternate day fasting to live a successful intermittent fasting lifestyle. But if that protocol suits you, great. But like you, you found out that it didn't, and now you've switched back to something that suits you and your life. And I think that's the flexibility of the whole intermittent fasting gambit, if you like. So that's excellent. So now you're doing 20 and 4, and you mentioned there you're having a bit of a struggle now with overeating, innuendo, and do you sort of eat past that point of being full and satisfied now? You just quite haven't learned to sort of shut off?
No, I know the feeling where you eat a bite and you just kind of sigh and you're like, oh, that was so good, but there's still a little bit of food on my plate, and I'm trying to make myself wait maybe 15 minutes before eating the rest of that food as just a check for myself. And I usually don't need to eat it because I really am full. The problem that I run into is if I'm in a hurry, I'll eat more than I need to. Or if the food is just really good, I'll eat more than I need to. And sometimes I get to the point where I even feel like I'll eat the meal and then I'll go for a walk and I feel like I'm going to throw up. And that tells me I ate too much. Don't do that again.
Yeah, if you certainly feel like that, you're definitely overeating, that's for sure, in that window. I mean, you don't want to sort of feel like that. Sort of, you want to eat till you're satisfied and full, not stuffed, or feel like you want to go and lie on the couch and undo your pants, that sort of thing. That's not what we want. We sort of want to sort of, and that takes a while, Tonya. It's a learning process. I mean, 6 months, you're still getting used to all of this, and you're processing it all. I mean, you've lost a lot of weight, but that's a different part of it, the actual eating window and learning to do that. What I find is often when I'll open my window, I'll have something higher in fat, because I find that takes the edge off, particularly if I'm hungry when I open my window. And so I'll have something like cream in my coffee, some avocado, something higher in fat, bit of bacon, whatever it may be. And then I find that if I sit back for a few minutes and reflect and pause before I start that main,
then I sort of takes the edge off and I'm not so hungry. And so I don't attack the plate and the main as much as I might have if I haven't opened like that. And then I'll sort of make sure I mindfully eat, slow, deliberate. And I think it's a really mindful thing when you're eating now. Do you find that when you're eating now, it's more mindful? Like I know when I was obese, I wasn't even tasting the food. I was just shoveling it in. I had no idea. It was just volume to me. But now it's like a theatrical experience, the eating window for me. It's like taking that time, slow, deliberate, and really enjoying our food. Do you find that that's happening for you?
Yes, for the most part. I would say 90% of my days are like that, where I really enjoy what I'm eating. Even if I just eat a small amount of something, I'm happy with that because it tastes so good. And that's the probably the biggest thing I noticed when I first started intermittent fasting, is that the foods I was eating tasted so much better than they ever had tasted before. And it's because I'm truly hungry and I really enjoy that. And just making sure to slow down. If I slow down, then I realize I'm full and I can stop.
Yeah, I think that's great. And obviously being a foodie and a cook and, you know, you're a mum and you've got adult kids and that sort of thing and your husband, and I bet your husband cooks as well. But how do you sort of work that when you're sort of cooking for other people and baking and that sort of thing and you're fasting? I mean, people often say to me, well, how do people at Bake do intermittent fasting?
That's a good question. I made it through my first Thanksgiving and Christmas while intermittent fasting, and I didn't gain any weight. So I was very excited about that. I allowed myself to eat some sweets during Christmas, but I didn't make any myself. Like I didn't make fudge or all the other kind of treats that I would normally make at Christmas because I knew I would overeat on them. I could possibly overeat on them. So I just decided not to make those for Christmas. But in general, when I cook for other people, if I'm going to cook and take something to a potluck, I make a keto lasagna. And I know that if there's nothing else at that party that would be good for me, I can at least eat what I bring. So yeah, that's what I found is I like cooking and I try lots of different recipes, and other people, everyone in my family seems to love the food that I make, even though it's keto. They don't seem to miss all the carbs.
So many alternatives that we can have with food. That's the thing. Now I say to people, and I had 5 decades basically nearly of eating poor nutrition, poor quality food. And then the light bulb went on and I think I've got to stop this. This food's killing me. Simple as that. And as I said before, I don't judge people about what they eat. But when you really drill down into what's in a lot of this processed food, you really sort of light bulb goes on and you go, man, I shouldn't be putting this stuff in my... You found your shopping's changed when you go to the supermarket?
Yes, I stick to the outside edges of the store. So produce, meats, and dairy are usually what I go there for. It's very rare that I go in the middle aisles. I don't buy cereal. I don't buy flour. Once in a while, I'll buy some almond flour because I do use that for when I want to bake some keto chocolate chip cookies, and I'll use the almond flour in the swerve. But for the most part, my sweet cravings have gotten less and less with intermittent fasting, and I'm not sure why that is, but I'm very happy about it because I was a real big sugar addict. And even with keto, I can eat way too many keto sweets. And I haven't had as much of a desire to even make all the keto sweets anymore. So that's been a good thing for me because I tend to overeat sweet things.
Yeah, it's just a work in progress, isn't it? I shop the same and I start around the perimeter for sure. And probably the only aisles I go down is a cleaning aisles or something like that, need cleaning products. But try to stay out of the chips and lollies aisles because I just don't need it anymore. I just don't go down there. There's no point. So, yeah, I think if you can do that, and I always say to somebody that has problems with sugar that I mentor, I say, look, if you could start your shopping around the perimeter, you know, and have your budget set and all that sort of thing and buy the good stuff first, then you're halfway there. And then you can sort of work on it as you go. But as we know, I know it's like that in America because I've been there. You go up to the checkouts, it's the same here, and have all the sweet stuff at the checkouts as well, the chocolate bars and all that and the lollies and everything else. So while you're waiting, they have all this temptation in front of you. And if you've got a problem, that sometimes is very tempting, and you often succumb to it. So I know with intermittent fasting, I don't even look at that stuff anymore. I just go up to the checkout, or I go to the self-serve checkout. I don't even look at that stuff anymore. Have you found that you're sort of just going right away from that now?
Yes, it really, I go in a store, I already know what I'm going to get for the most part. And it usually is certain recipes that I'm going to make, I need a certain amount of vegetables, or I need some steak, or I need some salmon, I need some cheese. And I just go in, get what I need, and go back out and try, you know, I don't need to be there for a long time. I don't need to shop in all the other aisles. It actually is saving me a lot of time.
Yeah. I guess if I had to describe my shopping, it would be keto carnivore-ish. Mm-hmm. It would be very keto-ish, sort of lower carbs, lower sugar, meat. I'm a big meat eater. I love my meat. I'm a carnivore at heart, I guess. But I don't do carnivore strictly because I find it pretty bland if you do it all the time. I like a bit of variety in my eating window. So, but I do love the carnivore sort of feel that it gives me. I did it for a few months actually once, and it really started shredding me, you know, like I could just feel myself getting stronger and that sort of thing. And I think it really has its place too, like a lot of fasting protocols do. But I can't tell you how fantastic it's been to talk to you today about this. I mean, 90 pounds in 6 months. I can't wait to interview you in 12 months to see where you are then. And I think it's just going to be fantastic. But if you were sitting around there in Michigan with a few friends in a cafe and they were saying, wow, Tonya, what's going on with you? You know, this intermittent fasting thing, just tell us about it. How are we going to get going? And how would you tell them to start?
I would just tell them just to start now. After you finish this meal, just start. Start maybe a 16-hour fast. And that, you know, I love the saying that everybody fasts because you fast when you sleep. And a lot of people don't think of that. So that might be 8 hours right there. That's just given because you're sleeping and you stop eating before bed. You don't eat right when you get up. And it's pretty simple to get to 16 hours. And I think that would be an easy place for somebody to start. That's what I have suggested to people, just to start with that. Just delay your eating.
Yeah, I think that's great advice, just to start slowly. Thank you for joining me here on the Fasting Highway today. I cannot wait to catch up with you in 6 months. I'm excited already for it. And thank you again for being an inspiring member of our Facebook community. And we look forward to seeing how your journey unfolds in the next 6 months to 12 months.
Well, thank you so much, Graham. This was a pleasure to be on your podcast. And I listen every week. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you for that as well. And best regards to everybody there in Michigan, and enjoy the snow. And we'll talk soon. Okay. Cheers, Tonya. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, thank you so much, Tonya. Thoroughly enjoyed that chat with you. What an amazing start you've had to your intermittent fasting journey. Losing that 90 pounds in 6 months. Absolutely life-changing. Well, I can't wait to catch up with you in 6 to 12 months' time to see where you are then. Also, folks, if you are looking for some extra accountability, or you need some help to get started with your intermittent fasting journey, or you just want to talk to somebody about it in private, you're not a person that wants to do that on Facebook or Instagram, you're about to book in now with a private session with me, a one-on-one mentoring coaching around intermittent fasting. Some of my expertise, obviously, is about overcoming sugar addiction as well, so you might have a problem with that. You can find that information at the Fasting Highway website, www.thefastinghighway.com. Just click on Get Help, and then you'll find the relevant charges and some times that you can book in privately with me. Okay, folks, until next week, be well, be safe, and remember, clean fasting is everlasting.